Most of them, all of them, had heard that Olive was dating their boss. Fuck her life. Can I talk to you for a minute, Dr. Carlson? Rationally, Olive knew that the lab was not furnished in a way that made echoing possible. Still, she felt as though her words bounced off the walls and repeated about 4 times. Carlson nodded, nonplussed, and handed the southern blot to Alex before heading in her direction. He appeared either unaware or uncaring that approximately 2/3 of his lab members were gaping at him. The remaining ones seemed to be on the verge of a hemorrhagic stroke. He led Olive to a meeting room just outside the main lab space, and she followed him silently, trying not to dwell on the fact that a lab full of people who thought that she and Carlson were dating had just seen them enter a private room, alone. This was the worst, the absolute worst. "Everyone knows," she blurted out as soon as the door closed behind her. He studied her for a moment, looking puzzled.
"Are you okay?"
"Everyone knows about us." He cocked his head, crossing his arms over his chest. It had been barely a day since they'd last talked, but apparently long enough for Olive to have forgotten his presence, or whatever it was that made her feel like she was small and delicate whenever he was around.
"Us."
"Us." He seemed confused, so Olive elaborated. "Us. Dating. Not that we're dating, but Ann clearly thought so, and she told..." She realized that the words were tumbling out and forced herself to slow down. "Jeremy. And he told everyone, and now everyone knows. Or they think they know, even though there's absolutely nothing to know, as you and I know." He took it in for a moment, and then nodded slowly.
"And when you say everyone..."
"I mean... everyone." She pointed in the direction of his lab. "Those people? They know. The other grads? They know. Cherie, the department's secretary? She totally knows. Gossip in this department is the worst, and they all think that I am dating a professor."
"I see,"
he said, seemingly strangely unbothered by this clusterfuck. It should have calmed Olive down, but it only had the effect of driving her panic up a notch. "I am sorry this happened. So sorry. This is all my fault." She wiped a hand down her face. "But I didn't think that... I understand why Ann would tell Jeremy. I mean, getting those two together was the whole point of this charade, but... why would Jeremy tell anyone?" Carlson shrugged.
"Why wouldn't he?"
She looked up. "What do you mean?"
"A grad student dating a faculty member seems like an interesting piece of information to share."
Olive shook her head. "It's not that interesting. Why would people be interested?" He lifted one eyebrow.
"Someone once told me that gossip in this department is the worst."
"Okay, okay, point taken." She took a deep breath and started pacing, trying to ignore the way Carlson was studying her, how relaxed he looked, arms across his chest while leaning against the conference table. He was not supposed to be calm. He was supposed to be incensed. He was a known dick with a reputation for arrogance. The idea of people thinking that he was dating a nobody should be mortifying to him. The burden of freaking out should not be falling on Olive alone. "This is... we need to do something, of course. We need to tell people that this is not true and that we made it all up. Except that they'll think that I'm crazy, and maybe that you are too, so we have to come up with some other story. Yes, okay. We need to tell people we're not together anymore."
"And what will Ann and what's-his-face do?"
Olive stopped pacing.
"Won't your friends feel bad about dating if they think we're not together? Or that you lied to them?"
She hadn't thought of that. Maybe. Maybe, but it was true that Ann had seemed happy. Maybe she had already invited Jeremy to accompany her to that movie festival, possibly right after telling him about Olive and Carlson. Damn her. But this was exactly what Olive had wanted.
"Are you going to tell her the truth?"
She let out a panicked sound. "I can't. Not now." God, why did Olive ever agree to date Jeremy? She wasn't even into him. Yes, the Irish accent and the ginger hair were cute, but not worth any of this. Maybe we can tell people that I broke up with you?
That's very flattering, Dr. Carlson deadpanned.
She couldn't quite figure out if he was joking. Fine, we can say that you broke up with me.
Because that sounds credible,
he said dryly, almost below his breath. She was not sure she'd heard him correctly and had no idea what he might mean, but she was starting to feel very upset. Fine, she had been the one to kiss him first. God, she'd kissed Adam Carlson. This was her life. These were her choices. But his actions in the break room the day before surely hadn't helped matters. He could at least display some concern. There was no way he was okay with everyone believing that he was attracted to some random girl with 1.5 publications. Yes, that paper she had revised and resubmitted 3 weeks ago counted as half. What if we tell people that it was a mutual breakup? He nodded.
Sounds good.
Olive perked up. Really? Great then.
We could ask Cherie to add it to the departmental newsletter.
What?
Or do you think a public announcement before seminar would be better?
No. No, it's...
Maybe we should ask IT to put it on the Stanford homepage. That way people would know.
Okay, fine. I get it. He looked at her evenly for a moment. And when he spoke, his tone was reasonable, in a way she would never have expected of Adam S. Carlson.
If what bothers you is that people are talking about you dating a professor, the damage is done, I'm afraid. Telling everyone that we broke up is not going to undo the fact that they think we dated.
Olive's shoulders slumped. She hated that he was right. Okay, then. If you have any ideas on how to fix this mess, by all means, I am open to...
You could let them go on thinking it.
For a moment, she thought she hadn't heard him correctly. What?
You can let people go on thinking that we're dating. It solves your problem with your friend, and what's-his-face, and you don't have much to lose, since it sounds like from a reputation standpoint.
He said the word reputation, rolling his eyes a little, as if the concept of caring about what others thought were the dumbest thing since homeopathic antibiotics.
Things cannot get any worse for you.
This was, out of everything. In her life, Olive had never, she had never. What? She asked again feebly. He shrugged.
Seems like a win-win to me.
It so did not to Olive. It seemed like a lose-lose, and then lose again, and then lose some more type of situation. It seemed insane. You mean, forever? She thought her voice came out whiny, but it was possible that it was just an effect of the blood pounding in her head.
That sounds excessive. Maybe until your friends are not dating anymore, or until they're more settled. I don't know. Whatever works best, I guess.
He was serious about this. He was not joking. Are you not... Olive had no idea how to even ask it. Married or something? He must have been in his early 30s. He had a fantastic job. He was tall, with thick, wavy black hair, clearly smart, even attractive looking. He was built. Yeah, he was a moody dick, but some women wouldn't mind it. Some women might even like it. He shrugged.
My wife and the twins won't mind.
Oh, shit. Olive felt a wave of heat wash over her. She blushed crimson and then almost died of shame because, God, she had forced a married man, a father, to kiss her. Now people thought that he was having an affair. His wife was probably crying into her pillow. His kids would grow up with horrible daddy issues and become serial killers. I am so sorry.
Just kidding.
I really had no idea that you...
Olive, I was joking. I'm not married. No kids.
A wave of relief crashed into her, followed by just as much anger. Dr. Carlson, this is not something you should joke.
You really need to start calling me Adam, since we've reportedly been dating for a while.
Olive exhaled slowly, pinching the bridge of her nose. Why would you even... What would you even get out of this?
Out of what?
Pretending to date me. Why do you care? What's in it for you? Dr. Carlson, Adam, opened his mouth, and for a moment, Olive had the impression that he was going to say something important. But then he averted his gaze, and all that came out was,
"It would help you out."
He hesitated for a moment.
"And I have my own reasons."
She narrowed her eyes. "What reasons?"
"Reasons.
If it's criminal, I'd rather not be involved." He smiled a bit.
"It's not.
If you don't tell me, I have no choice but to assume that it entails kidnapping, or arson, or embezzlement." He seemed preoccupied for a moment, fingertips drumming against a large biceps. It considerably strained his shirt.
"If I tell you, it cannot leave this room."
"I think we can both agree that nothing that has happened in this room should ever leave it."
"Good point,"
he conceded. He paused, sighed, chewed on the inside of his cheek for a second, sighed again.
"Okay,"
he finally said, sounding like a man who knew that he was going to regret speaking the second he opened his mouth.
"I'm considered a flight risk."
Flight risk? God, he was a felon on parole. A jury of his peers had convicted him for crimes against grad students. He'd probably whacked someone on the head with a microscope for mislabeling peptide samples. So it is something criminal.
What? No. The department suspects that I'm making plans to leave Stanford and move to another institution. Normally, it wouldn't bother me, but Stanford has decided to freeze my research funds.
Oh. Not what she'd thought. Not at all. Can they?
Yes. Well, up to 1/3 of them. The reasoning is that they don't want to fund the research and further the career of someone who, they believe, is going to leave anyway.
But if it's only 1/3...
It's millions of dollars,
he said levelly,
that I had earmarked for projects that I planned to finish within the next year, here, at Stanford, which means that I need those funds soon.
Oh. Come to think of it, Olive had been hearing scuttlebutt about Carlson being recruited by other universities since her first year. A few months earlier, there had even been a rumor that he might go work for NASA. Why do they think that, and why now?
A number of reasons. The most relevant is that a few weeks ago, I was awarded a grant. A very large grant, with a scientist at another institution. That institution had tried to recruit me in the past, and Stanford sees the collaboration as an indication that I am planning to accept.
He hesitated before continuing.
More generally, I have been made aware that the optics are that I have not put down roots because I want to be able to flee Stanford at the drop of a hat.
Roots?
Most of my grads will be done within the year. I have no extended family in the area, no wife, no children. I'm currently renting. I'd have to buy a house just to convince the department that I'm committed to staying,
he said, clearly irritated.
If I was in a relationship, that would really help.
Okay, that made sense. But have you considered getting a real girlfriend? His eyebrow lifted.
Have you considered getting a real date?
Touché. Olive fell silent and studied him for a few moments, letting him study her in return. Funny how she used to be scared of him. Now he was the only person in the world who knew about her worst fuck-up ever, and it was hard to feel intimidated, even harder, after discovering that he was the kind of person who'd be desperate enough to pretend to date someone to get his research funds back. Olive was sure that she would do the exact same for the opportunity to finish her study on pancreatic cancer, which made Adam seem oddly relatable. And if he was relatable, then she could go ahead and fake date him, right? No. Yes?
No.
What? She was crazy for even considering this. She was certifiably mental. And yet, she found herself saying, it would be complicated.
What would be?
To pretend that we're dating.
Really? It would be complicated to make people think that we're dating.
Oh, he was impossible. Okay, I see your point, but it would be hard to do so convincingly for a prolonged period. He shrugged.
We'll be fine, as long as we say hi to each other in the hallways and you don't call me Dr. Carlson.
I don't think people who are dating just say hi to each other.
What do people who are dating do?
It beat Olive. She had gone on maybe 5 dates in her life, including the ones with Jeremy, and they had ranged from moderately boring to anxiety-inducing to horrifying, mostly when a guy had monologued about his grandmother's hip replacement in frightening detail. She would have loved to have someone in her life, but she doubted it was in store for her. Maybe she was unlovable. Maybe spending so many years alone had warped her in some fundamental way, and that was why she seemed to be unable to develop a true romantic connection, or even the type of attraction she often heard others talk about. In the end, it didn't really matter. Grad school and dating went poorly together anyway, which was probably why Dr. Adam Carlson, MacArthur Fellow and Genius Extraordinaire, was standing here at 30-something years old, asking Olive what people did on dates. Academics, ladies and gentlemen. Things? Stuff? Olive racked her brain. People go out and do activities together, like apple picking or those paint and sip things. Which are idiotic, Olive thought.
Which are idiotic,
Adam said, gesturing dismissively with those huge hands of his.
You could just go to Anne and tell her that we went out and painted a Monet. Sounds like she'd take care of letting everyone else know.
Okay, first of all, it was Jeremy. Let's agree to blame Jeremy. And it's more than that, Olive insisted. People who date, they talk. A lot. More than just greetings in the hallway. They know each other's favorite colors and where they were born, and they hold hands. They kiss. Adam pressed his lips together, as if to suppress a smile.
We could never do that.
A fresh wave of mortification crashed into Olive. I am sorry about the kiss. I really didn't think, and... He shook his head.
It's fine.
He did seem uncharacteristically indifferent to the situation, especially for a guy who was known to freak out when people got the atomic number of selenium wrong. No, he wasn't indifferent. He was amused. Olive cocked her head. Are you enjoying this?
Enjoying is probably not the right word, but you have to admit that it's quite entertaining.
She had no idea what he was talking about. There was nothing entertaining about the fact that she had randomly kissed a faculty member because he was the only person in the hallway and that, as a consequence of that spectacularly idiotic action, everyone thought she was dating someone she'd met exactly twice before today. She burst into laughter and folded into herself before her train of thought was even over, overwhelmed by the sheer improbability of the situation. This was her life. These were the results of her actions. When she could finally breathe again, her abs hurt and she had to wipe her eyes. This is the worst. He was smiling, staring at her with a strange light in his eyes. And would you look at that? Adam Carlson had dimples. Cute ones.
Yep.
And it's all my fault.
Pretty much. I kind of yanked An's chain yesterday, but yeah, I'd say that it's mostly your fault.
Fake dating. Adam Carlson. Olive would have to be a lunatic. Wouldn't it be a problem that you're faculty and I'm a graduate student? He tilted his head, going serious.
It wouldn't look great, but I don't think so, no. Since I have no authority whatsoever over you, and am not involved in your supervision, but I can ask around.
It was an epically bad idea. The worst idea ever entertained in the epically bad history of bad ideas. Except that it really would solve this current problem of hers, as well as some of Adam's. in exchange for saying hi to him once a week and making an effort not to call him Dr. Carlson? It seems like a pretty good deal. Can I think about it?
Of course, he said calmly, reassuringly.
She hadn't thought he'd be like this. After hearing all the stories and seeing him walk around with that perpetual frown of his, she really hadn't thought he'd be like this, even if she didn't quite know what this even meant.
And thank you, I guess, for offering, Adam.
She added the last word like an afterthought, trying it out on her lips. It felt weird, but not too weird. After a long pause, he nodded.
No problem,
Olive. Chapter 3. Hypothesis. A private conversation with Adam Carlson will become 150% more awkward after the word sex is uttered. By me. 3 days later, Olive found herself standing in front of Adam's office. She'd never been there before, but she had no problem finding it. The student scurrying out with misty eyes and a terrified expression was a dead giveaway, not to mention that Adam's door was the only one in the hallway completely devoid of pictures of kids, pets, or significant others. Not even a copy of his article that had made the cover of Nature Methods, which she knew about from looking him up on Google Scholar the previous day. Just dark brown wood and a metal plaque that read, Adam J. Carlson, PhD. Maybe the J stood for jackass. Olive had felt a bit like a creep the night before, scrolling down his faculty webpage and going through his list of 10 million publications and research grants, staring at a picture of him clearly taken in the middle of a hiking trip and not by Stanford's official photographer. Still, she'd quickly quashed the feeling, telling herself that a thorough academic background check was only logical before embarking on a fake dating relationship. She took a deep breath before knocking, and then another between Adam's,
"Come in,"
and the moment she finally managed to force herself to open the door. When she entered the office, he didn't immediately look up and continued typing on his iMac.
My office hours were over 5 minutes ago, so...
It's me. His hands halted, hovering half an inch or so above the keyboard. Then he turned his chair toward her.
Olive.
There was something about the way he talked. Maybe it was an accent, maybe just a quality of his voice. Olive didn't quite know what, but it was there, in the way he said her name. Precise, careful, deep, unlike anyone else. Familiar. Impossibly so.
What did you say to her? She asked, trying not to care about how Adam Carlson spoke. The girl who ran out in tears?
It took him a moment to remember that less than 60 seconds ago, there had been someone else in the office, someone whom he clearly made cry.
I just gave her feedback on something she wrote.
Olive nodded, silently thanking all the gods that he was not her advisor and never would be, and studied her surroundings. He had a corner office, of course, two windows that together must total 70,000 square meters of glass, and so much light, just standing in the middle of the room would cure 20 people's seasonal depression. It made sense, what with all the grant money he brought in, what with the prestige, that he'd been given a nice space. Olive's office, on the other hand, had no windows and smelled funny, probably because she shared it with three other PhD students, even though it was meant to accommodate two at the most.
I was going to email you. I talked to the dean earlier today,
Adam told her, and she looked back at him. He was gesturing to the chair in front of his desk. Olive pulled it back and took a seat.
About you.
Oh. Olive's stomach dropped. She'd much rather the dean didn't know about her existence. Then again, she'd also rather not be in this room with Adam Carlson, have the semester begin in a handful of days, have climate change be a thing, and yet...
Well, about us, he amended. And socialization regulations.
What did she say?
There's nothing against you and me dating, since I'm not your advisor.
A mix of panic and relief flooded through Olive.
However, there are some issues to consider. I won't be able to collaborate with you in any formal capacity. And I'm part of the program's awards committee, which means that I'll have to excuse myself if you are nominated for fellowships or similar opportunities.
She nodded. Fair enough.
And I absolutely cannot be part of your thesis committee.
Olive huffed out a laugh. That won't be a problem. I wasn't going to ask you to be on my committee. He narrowed his eyes.
Why not? You study pancreatic cancer, right?
Yep, early detection.
Then your work would benefit from the perspective of a computational modeler.
Yeah, but there are other computational modelers in the department, and I'd like to eventually graduate, ideally without sobbing in a bathroom stall after each committee meeting. He glared at her. Olive shrugged. No offense. I'm a simple girl with simple needs. To that, he lowered his gaze to his desk, but not before Olive could see the corner of his mouth twitch. When he looked up again, his expression was serious.
So, have you decided?
She pressed her lips together as he watched her calmly. She took a deep breath before saying, Yes. Yes, I want to do it. It's a good idea, actually. For so many reasons. It would get Ann and Jeremy off her back, but also everyone else. It was as if since the rumor had begun to spread, people had been too intimidated by Olive to give her the usual shit. The other TAs had quit trying to switch her nice 2 p.m. sections with their horrifying 8 a.m. ones. Her lab mates had stopped cutting in front of her in the line for the microscope. And two different faculty members, Olive had been trying to get a hold of for weeks, had finally deigned to answer her emails. It felt a little unfair to exploit this huge misunderstanding, but academia was a lawless land, and Olive's life in it had been nothing but miserable for the past 2 years. She had learned to grab whatever she could get away with. And if some... Okay, if most of the grads in the department looked at her suspiciously because she was dating Adam Carlson, so be it. Her friends seemed to be largely fine with this, if a little bemused. Except for Malcolm. He'd been shunning her like she had the pox for 3 solid days. But Malcolm was Malcolm. He'd come around.
Very well, then.
He was completely expressionless. Almost too expressionless. Like it was no big deal and he didn't care either way. Like if she'd said no, it wouldn't have changed anything for him. Though, I've been thinking about this a lot. He waited patiently for her to continue. And I think that it would be best if we laid down some ground rules before starting.
Ground rules?
Yes, you know, what we are allowed and not allowed to do, what we can expect from this arrangement. I think that's pretty standard protocol before embarking on a fake dating relationship. He tilted his head.
Standard protocol?
Yep.
How many times have you done this?
0, but I am familiar with the trope.
The what?
He blinked at her, confused. Olive ignored him. Okay. She inhaled deeply and lifted her index finger. First of all, this should be a strictly on-campus arrangement. Not that I think you'd want to meet me off campus, but just in case you were planning to kill 2 birds with 1 stone, I'm not going to be your last-minute backup if you need to bring a date home for Christmas or...
Hanukkah.
What?
My family is more likely to celebrate Hanukkah than Christmas.
He shrugged.
Though I'm unlikely to celebrate either.
Oh. Olive pondered it for a moment. I guess this is something your fake girlfriend should know. The ghost of a smile appeared on his mouth, but he said nothing. Okay, second rule. Actually, it could be interpreted as an extension of the first rule, but... Olive bit into her lip, willing herself to bring it up. No sex. For several moments, he simply didn't move. Not even a millimeter. Then his lips parted, but no sound came out, and that's when Olive realized that she had just rendered Adam Carlson speechless. Which would have been funny any other day, but the fact that he seemed dumbfounded by Olive not wanting to include sex in their fake dating relationship made her stomach sink. Had he assumed that they would? Was it something she'd said? Should she explain that she'd had very little sex in her life? That for years she'd wondered whether she was asexual, and she had realized only recently that she might be able to experience sexual attraction, but only with people she trusted deeply? That if for some inexplicable reason Adam wanted to have sex with her, she wasn't going to be able to go through with it? "Listen," she made to stand from her chair, panic rising in her throat. "I'm sorry, but if one of the reasons you offered to fake date is that you thought that we would..."
"No."
The word half exploded out of him. He looked genuinely appalled.
"I'm shocked that you'd even feel the need to bring it up."
"Oh." Olive's cheeks heated at the indignation in his voice. Right. Of course he didn't expect that, or even want that, with her. Look at him. Why would he? "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to assume."
"No. It makes sense to be upfront. I was just surprised."
"I know." Olive nodded. Honestly, she was a little surprised, too, that she was sitting in Adam Carlson's office, talking about sex, not the meiosis kind of sex, but potential sexual intercourse between the two of them. "Sorry, I didn't mean to make things weird."
"It's okay. This whole thing is weird."
The silence between them stretched, and Olive noticed that he was blushing faintly. Just a dusting of red, but he looked so... Olive couldn't stop staring.
"No sex," he confirmed with a nod.
She had to clear her throat and shake herself out of inspecting the shape and color of his cheekbones. "No sex," she repeated. "Okay, third. It's not really a rule, but here goes. I won't date anyone else. As in, real dating. It would be messy and complicate everything, and..." Olive hesitated. Should she tell him? Was it too much information? Did he need to know? Oh well, why not at this point? It wasn't like she hadn't kissed the man or brought up sex in his place of work. "I don't date anyway. Jeremy was an exception. I've never dated seriously before, and it's probably for the best. Grad school is stressful enough, and I have my friends and my project on pancreatic cancer. And honestly, there's better things to use my time for." The last few words came out more defensively than she'd intended. Adam just stared and said nothing. "But you can date, of course," she added hastily. "Though I'd appreciate it if you could avoid telling people in the department, just so I don't look like an idiot, and you don't look like you're cheating on me, and rumors don't balloon out of control. It would benefit you too, since you're trying to look like you're in a committed relationship."
"I won't."
"Okay. Great. Thanks. I know lying by omission can be a pain, but..."
"I mean, I won't date someone else."
There was a certainty, a finality in his tone that took her by surprise. She could only nod, even though she wanted to protest that he couldn't possibly know, even though a million questions surfaced in her mind. 99% of them were inappropriate and not her business, so she shooed them away. "Okay, fourth. We obviously can't keep on doing this forever, so we should give ourselves a deadline." His lips pressed together.
"When would that be?"
"I'm not sure. A month or so would probably be enough to convince Ann that I'm firmly over Jeremy, but it might not be enough on your end, so you tell me." He mulled it and then nodded once.
"September 29th.
It was a little over a month from now. But also, that's a weirdly specific date. Olive racked her head, trying to figure out why it could be meaningful. The only thing that came to mind was that she'd be in Boston that week for the annual biology conference.
"It's the day after the department's final budget review. If they don't release my funds by then, they won't release them at all."
"I see. Well then, let's agree that on September 29th, we part ways. I'll tell Ann that our breakup was amicable, but that I'm a little sad about it, because I still have a bit of a crush on you. She grinned at him. Just so she won't suspect that I'm still hung up on Jeremy. Okay. She took a deep breath. Fifth and last. This was the tricky one, the one she was afraid he'd object to. She noticed that she was wringing her hands and placed them firmly in her lap. For this to work, we should probably do things together, every once in a while.
Things.
Things. Stuff.
Stuff, he repeated dubiously.
Yep, stuff. What do you do for fun? He was probably into something atrocious, like cow-tipping excursions or Japanese beetle fighting. Maybe he collected porcelain dolls. Maybe he was an avid geocacher. Maybe he frequented vaping conventions. Oh, God.
Fun?
He repeated, like he'd never heard the word before. Yeah, what do you do when you're not at work? The length of time that passed between Olive's question and his answer was alarming.
Sometimes I work at home, too. And I work out. And I sleep.
She had to actively stop herself from facepalming. Great. Anything else?
What do you do for fun?
He asked, somewhat defensively. Plenty of things. I go to the movies? Though she hadn't been since the last time Malcolm had dragged her. Play board games? But every single one of her friends was too busy lately, so not that either. She'd participated in that volleyball tournament, but it had been over a year ago. I work out? She would have loved to wipe that smug expression off his face. So much. Whatever. We should do something together on a regular basis. I don't know, maybe get coffee, like once a week? Just for 10 minutes, at a place where people could easily see us. I know it sounds annoying and like a waste of time, but it'll be super short, and it would make the fake dating more credible and...
Sure.
Oh. She thought it would take more convincing. A lot more. Then again, this was in his interest, too. He needed his colleagues to believe in their relationship if he was to cajole them into releasing his funding. Okay. She forced herself to stop wondering why he was being so accommodating and tried to visualize her schedule. How about Wednesday? Adam angled his chair to face his computer and pulled up a calendar app. It was so full of colorful boxes that Olive felt a surge of vicarious anxiety.
It works before 11 a.m. and after 6 p.m.
10? He turned back to her.
10's good.
Okay. She waited for him to type it in, but he made no move to. Aren't you going to add it to your calendar?
I'll remember,
he told her evenly. Okay, then. She made an effort to smile, and it felt relatively sincere. Way more sincere than any smile she'd ever thought she'd be able to muster in Adam Carlson's presence. Great. Fake dating Wednesday it is. A line appeared between his eyebrows.
Why do you keep saying that?
Saying what?
Fake dating, like it's a thing.
Because it is. Don't you watch rom-coms? He stared at her with a puzzled expression until she cleared her throat and looked down at her knees. Right. God, they had nothing in common. They'd never find anything to talk about. Their 10-minute coffee breaks were going to be the most painful, awkward parts of her already painful, awkward weeks. But Anne was going to have her beautiful love story, and Olive wouldn't have to wait for ages to use the electron microscope. That was all that mattered. She stood and thrust her hand out to him, figuring that every fake dating arrangement deserved at least a handshake. Adam studied it hesitantly for a couple of seconds. Then he stood and clasped her fingers. He stared at their joined hands before meeting her eyes, and Olive ordered herself not to notice the heat of his skin or how broad he was, or anything else about him. When he finally let go, she had to make a conscious effort not to inspect her palm. Had he done something to her? It sure felt like it. Her flesh was tingling.
When do you want to start?
How about next week? It was Friday, which meant that she had fewer than 7 days to psychologically prepare for the experience of getting coffee with Adam Carlson. She knew that she could do this. If she had worked her way up to a 97th percentile on the verbal portion of the GRE, she could do anything, or as good as, but it still seemed like a horrible idea.
Sounds good.
It was happening. Oh, God. Let's meet at the Starbucks on campus. It's where most of the grads get coffee. Someone's bound to spot us. She headed for the door, pausing to glance back at Adam. I guess I'll see you for fake dating Wednesday then? He was still standing behind his desk, arms crossed on his chest, looking at Olive, looking entirely less irritated by this mess than she'd ever have expected. Looking nice.
See you, Olive. Pass the salt.
Olive would have, but Malcolm looked like he was already salty enough. So she leaned her hip against the kitchen counter and folded her arms across her chest. Malcolm.
And the pepper.
Malcolm.
And the oil.
Malcolm.
Sunflower, not that grapeseed crap.
Listen, it's not what you think.
Fine, I'll get them myself.
To be fair, Malcolm had every right to be mad, and Olive did feel for him. He was 1 year ahead of her, and the scion of STEM royalty, the product of generations of biologists, geologists, botanists, physicists, and who knows what other ists mixing their DNA and spawning little science machines. His father was a dean at some state school on the East Coast. His mother had a TED Talk on Purkinje cells with several million views on YouTube. Did Malcolm want to be in a PhD program, headed for an academic career? Probably no. Did he have any other choice, considering the pressure his family had put on him since he was in diapers? Also, no. Not to say that Malcolm was unhappy. His plan was to get his PhD, find a nice, cushy industry job, and make lots of money working 9 to 5, which technically qualified as being a scientist, which in turn was not something his parents would be able to object to, at least not too strenuously. In the meantime, all he wanted was to have a grad school experience that was as untraumatizing as possible. Out of everyone in Olive's program, he was the one who best managed to have a life outside of grad school. He did things that were unimaginable to most grads, like cooking real food, going for hikes, meditating, acting in a play, dating like it was an Olympic sport.
It is an Olympic sport, Olive, and I am training for gold.
Which was why when Adam forced Malcolm to throw out tons of data and redo half his study, it made for a very, very miserable few months. In retrospect, that might have been when Malcolm started wishing a plague on the Carlson house. He had been rehearsing for Romeo and Juliet at the time. Malcolm, can we please talk about this?
We're talking.
No, you are cooking, and I am just standing here, trying to get you to acknowledge that you are mad because Adam... Malcolm turned away from his casserole, wagging his finger in Olive's direction.
Do not say it.
Do not say what?
You know what. Adam Carl, do not say his name.
She threw her hands up. This is crazy. It's fake, Malcolm. He went back to chopping the asparagus.
Pass the salt.
Are you even listening? It's not real.
And the pepper and the...
The relationship. It's fake. We're not really dating. We're pretending so people will think that we're dating. Malcolm's hands stopped mid-chop.
What?
You heard me.
Is it a friends with benefits arrangement? Because...
No, it's the opposite. There are no benefits. Zero benefits, zero sex, zero friends, too. He stared at her, narrow-eyed.
To be clear, oral and butt stuff totally counts as sex.
Malcolm! He took a step closer, grabbing a dish rag to wipe his hands, nostrils flaring.
I'm scared to ask.
I know it sounds ridiculous. He's helping me out by pretending we're together because I lied to Anne, and I need her to feel okay about dating Jeremy. It's all fake. Adam and I have talked exactly... She decided on the spot to omit any information pertinent to the night. 3 times, and I know nothing about him. except that he's willing to help me handle this situation, and I jumped at the chance.
Malcolm was making that face, the one he reserved for people who wore sandals paired with white socks. He could be a little scary, she had to admit.
This is... wow.
There was a vein pulsating on his forehead.
All. This is breathtakingly stupid.
Maybe.
Yes. Yes, it was.
But it is what it is, and you have to support me in my idiocy, because you and An are my best friends.
Isn't Carlson your best friend now?
Come on, Malcolm. He's an ass. But he's actually been pretty nice to me, and...
I'm not even, he grimaced. I'm not going to address this.
She sighed. Okay, don't address this. You don't have to, but can you just not hate me, please? I know he's been a nightmare to half the grads in the program, you included, but he's helping me out. You and An are the only ones I care about knowing the truth, but I can't tell An.
For obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, she finished at the same time and smiled. He just shook his head disapprovingly, but his expression had softened.
All, you're amazing and kind, way too kind. You should find someone better than Carlson, someone to date for real.
Yeah, right, she rolled her eyes, because it went so well with Jeremy, who, by the way, I only agreed to date following your advice. Give the boy a chance, you said. What could possibly go wrong, you said.
Malcolm glared, and she laughed. Listen, I'm clearly bad at real dating. Maybe fake dating will be different. Maybe I've found my niche. He sighed.
Does it have to be Carlson? There are better faculty members to fake date.
Like who?
I don't know. Dr. McCoy?
Didn't her wife just give birth to triplets?
Oh, yeah. What about Holden Rodriguez? He's hot. Cute smile, too. I would know. He always smiles at me.
Olive burst into laughter. I could never fake date Dr. Rodriguez. Not with how assiduously you've been thirsting after him for the past 2 years.
I have, haven't I? Did I ever tell you about the serious flirting that happened between us at the undergrad research fair? I'm pretty sure he winked at me multiple times from the other side of the room. Now, some say he just had something in his eye, but...
Me. I said that he probably had something in his eye, and you tell me about it every other day.
Right, he sighed. You know all, I would have fake-dated you myself in a heartbeat to spare you from goddamned Carlson. I would have held hands with you and given you my jacket when you were cold, and very publicly gifted you chocolate roses and teddy bears on Valentine's Day.
How refreshing to talk with someone who'd watched a rom-com, or 10. I know, but you also bring home a different person every week, and you love it, and I love that you love it. I don't want to cramp your style.
Fair.
Malcolm looked pleased, whether at the fact that he really did get around a fair bit, or at Olive's thorough understanding of his dating habits, she wasn't sure.
Can you please not hate me then?
He tossed the kitchen cloth onto the counter and stepped closer.
All, I could never hate you. You'll always be my Kalamata.
He pulled her into his chest, hugging her tight. At the beginning, when they'd just met, Olive had been constantly disoriented by how physical he was, probably because it had been years since she'd experienced such affectionate contact. Now, Malcolm's hugs were her happy place. She laid her head on his shoulder and smiled into the cotton of his t-shirt.
Thanks.
Malcolm held her tighter. And I promise if I ever bring Adam home, I'll put a sock on my door.
Ouch!
You evil creature.
I was kidding. Wait, don't leave. I have something important to tell you.
He paused by the door, scowling.
I've reached my maximum daily intake of Carlson-related conversation. Anything further will be lethal, so...
Tom Benton, the cancer researcher from Harvard, reached out to me. It's not decided yet, but he might be interested in having me in his lab next year.
Oh my God.
Malcolm walked back to her, delighted.
Oh, this is amazing. I thought none of the researchers you contacted had gotten back to you.
Not for the longest time. But now Benton has, and you know how famous and well-known he is. He probably has more research funds than I could ever dream of. It would be...
fantastic. It would really be fantastic. All. I am so proud of you.
Malcolm took her hands in his. His face-splitting grin slowly gentled.
And your mom would be so proud, too.
Olive looked away, blinking rapidly. She didn't want to cry, not tonight. Nothing is set in stone. I'll have to persuade him. It will involve quite a bit of politicking and going through the whole pitch me your research bit, which, as you know, is not my forte. It might still not work out.
It will work out.
Right. Yes. She needed to be optimistic. She nodded, attempting a smile.
But even if it didn't, she would still be proud.
Olive nodded again. When a single tear managed to slide down her cheek, she decided to let it be. 45 minutes later, she and Malcolm sat on their minuscule couch, arms pressed together, watching reruns of American Ninja Warrior, while they ate a very undersalted veggie casserole. Chapter 4. Hypothesis. Adam Carlson and I have absolutely nothing in common, and having coffee with him will be twice as painful as a root canal, without anesthesia. Olive arrived to the first fake dating Wednesday late and in the foulest of moods, after a morning spent growling at her cheap knockoff reagents for not dissolving, then not precipitating, then not sonicating, then not being enough for her to run her entire assay. She paused outside the coffee shop's door and took a deep breath. She needed a better lab if she wanted to produce decent science. Better equipment, better reagents, better bacteria cultures, better everything. Next week, when Tom Benton arrived, she had to be on top of her game. She needed to prepare her spiel, not waste time on a coffee she didn't particularly want, with a person she most definitely didn't want to talk to halfway through her experimental protocol. Ugh. When she stepped inside the cafe, Adam was already there, wearing a black Henley that looked like it was ideated, designed, and produced specifically with the upper half of his body in mind. Olive was momentarily bemused, not so much that his clothes fit him well, but that she'd noticed what someone was wearing to begin with. It was not like her. She'd been seeing Adam traipse around the biology building for the better part of 2 years, after all, not to mention that in the past couple of weeks, they'd spoken an inordinate amount of times. They'd even kissed, if one counted what had happened on the night as a proper kiss. It was dizzying and a little unsettling, the realization that sank into her as they got in line to order their coffee. Adam Carlson was handsome. Adam Carlson, with his long nose and wavy hair, with his full lips and angular face that shouldn't have fit together but somehow did, was really, really, really handsome. Olive had no clue why it hadn't registered before, or why what made her realize it was him putting on a plain black shirt. She willed herself to stare ahead at the drink menu instead of his chest. In the coffee shop, there were a total of 3 biology grad students, 1 pharmacology postdoc, and 1 undergraduate research assistant eyeing them. Perfect. So, how are you? She asked, because it was the thing to do.
Fine. You?
Fine. It occurred to Olive that maybe she hadn't thought this through as thoroughly as she should have, because being seen together might have been their goal, but standing next to each other in silence was not going to fool anyone into thinking that they were blissfully dating. And Adam was, well, he seemed unlikely to initiate any kind of conversation. So, Olive shifted her weight to the balls of her feet a couple of times. What's your favorite color? He looked at her, confused.
What?
Your favorite color.
My favorite color.
Yep. There was a crease between his eyes.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
They're colors. They're all the same.
There must be one you like most.
I don't think so.
Red?
I don't know.
Yellow? Vomit green? His eyes narrowed.
Why are you asking?
Olive shrugged. It feels like something I should know.
Why?
Because. If someone tries to figure out whether we're really dating, it might be one of the first questions they ask. Top five for sure. He studied her for a few seconds.
Does that seem like a likely scenario to you?
About as likely as me fake dating you. He nodded, as if conceding her point.
Okay, black, I guess.
She snorted. Figures.
What's wrong with black?
He frowned. It's not even a color. It's no colors, technically.
It's better than vomit green.
No, it isn't.
Of course it is.
Yeah, well, it suits your scion of darkness personality.
What does that even...
Good morning. The barista smiled at them cheerfully. What will you have today? Olive smiled back, gesturing at Adam to order first.
Coffee.
He darted a glance at her before adding, sheepishly,
black.
She had to duck her head to hide her smile, but when she glanced at him again, the corner of his mouth was curved upward, which, she reluctantly admitted to herself, was not a bad look for him. She ignored it and ordered the most fatty, sugary thing on the drink menu, asking for extra whipped cream. She was wondering if she should try to make up for it by buying an apple too, or if she should just lean into it and top it off with a cookie, when Adam took a credit card out of his wallet and held it to the cashier.
Oh no, 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 no.
Olive put her hand in front of his and lowered her voice. You can't pay for my stuff. He blinked.
I can't?
That's not the kind of fake relationship we're having. He looked surprised.
It isn't?
Nope. She shook her head. I would never fake date a dude who thinks that he has to pay for my coffee just because he's a dude. He lifted an eyebrow.
I doubt a language exists in which the thing you just ordered could be referred to as coffee.
Hey.
And it's not about me being a dude.
The word came out a touch pained.
But about you still being a grad student and your yearly income.
For a moment, she hesitated, wondering if she should be offended. Was Adam being his well-known ass self? Was he patronizing her? Did he think she was poor? Then she remembered that she was, in fact, poor, and that he probably made five times as much as her. She shrugged, adding a chocolate chip cookie, a banana, and a pack of gum to her coffee. To his credit, Adam said nothing and paid the resulting $21.39 without batting an eye. While they were waiting for their drinks, Olive's mind began drifting off to her project and to whether she could convince Dr. Aslan to buy her better reagents soon. She looked distractedly around the coffee shop, finding that even though the research assistant, the postdoc, and one of the students were gone, two grads, one of whom serendipitously happened to work in An's lab, were still sitting at a table by the door, glancing toward them every few minutes. Excellent. She leaned her hip against the counter and looked up at Adam. Thank God this thing was only going to be 10 minutes a week, or she'd develop a permanent crick at her neck. Where were you born? She asked.
Is this another one of your green card marriage interview questions?
She giggled. He smiled in response, as if pleased to have made her laugh, though it was certainly for some other reason.
Netherlands, The Hague.
Oh. He leaned against the counter, too, directly in front of her.
Why, oh?
I don't know, Olive shrugged. I think I expected New York, or maybe Kansas? He shook his head.
My mother used to be a U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands.
Wow. Weird to imagine that Adam had a mother, a family, that before being tall and scary and infamous, he'd been a kid. Maybe he spoke Dutch. Maybe he had smoked herring for breakfast on the reg. Maybe his mother had wanted him to follow in her footsteps and become a diplomat, but his shiny personality had emerged, and she'd given up on that dream. Olive found herself acutely eager to know more about his upbringing, which was weird. Very weird. Here you go. Their drinks appeared on the counter. Olive told herself that the way the blonde barista was obviously checking out Adam as he turned to retrieve a lid for his cup was none of her business. She also reminded herself that as curious as she was about his diplomat mother, how many languages he spoke, and whether he liked tulips, it was information that went well beyond their arrangement. People had seen them together. They were going to go back to their labs and tell improbable tales of Dr. Adam Carlson and the random, unremarkable student they'd spotted him with. Time for Olive to go back to her science. She cleared her throat. Well, this was fun. He looked up from his cup, surprised.
Is fake dating Wednesday over?
Yep. Great job, team. Now hit the showers. You're free until next week. Olive stabbed her straw into her drink and took a sip, feeling the sugar explode in her mouth. Whatever she'd ordered, it was disgustingly good. She was probably developing diabetes as she spoke. I'll see you.
Where were you born?
Adam asked before she could leave. Oh, they were doing this then. He was probably just trying to be polite, and Olive sighed inwardly, thinking longingly of her lab bench. Toronto.
Right. You're Canadian, he said,
like he'd already known. Yep.
When did you move here?
8 years ago, for college. He nodded, as if storing up the information.
Why the U.S.? Canada has excellent schools.
I got a full ride. It was true, if not the whole truth. He fidgeted with the cardboard cup holder.
Do you go back a lot?
Not really, no. Olive licked some whipped cream off her straw. She was puzzled when he immediately looked away from her.
Do you plan to move back home once you graduate?
She tensed. Not if I can help it. She had lots of painful memories in Canada, and her only family, the people she wanted nearby, were Ann and Malcolm, both U.S. citizens. Olive and Ann had even made a pact that if Olive was ever on the verge of losing her visa, Ann would marry her. In hindsight, this entire fake dating business with Adam was going to be great practice for when Olive leveled up and started defrauding the Department of Homeland Security in earnest. Adam nodded, taking a sip of his coffee.
Favorite color?
Olive opened her mouth to tell him her favorite color, which was so much better than his, and... Damn it. He gave her a knowing look.
Difficult, isn't it?
There are so many good ones.
Yup.
I'm going to go with blue. Light blue. No, wait. Let's say white. Okay, white. He clucked his tongue.
You know, I don't think I can accept that. White's not really a color. More like all colors put together.
Olive pinched him on the fleshy part of his forearm.
Ow,
he said, clearly not in pain. With a sly smile, he waved goodbye and turned away, heading for the biology building. Hey, Adam, she called after him. He paused and looked back at her. Thanks for buying me 3 days' worth of food. He hesitated and then nodded, once. That thing he was doing with his mouth, he was definitely smiling down at her, a little begrudgingly, but still.
My pleasure, Olive.
Today, 2:40 p.m. From Tom Benton at Harvard EDU to Olive Smith at Stanford EDU. Subject, regarding pancreatic cancer screening project. Olive, I'll be flying in on Tuesday afternoon. How about we meet on Wednesday around 3 p.m. in Aishagul Aslan's lab? My collaborator can point me in its direction. TB, sent from my iPhone. Olive was late for her second fake dating Wednesday too, but for different reasons, all Tom Benton related. First, she'd overslept after staying up late the previous night, rehearsing how she was going to sell him her project. She'd repeated her spiel so many times that Malcolm had started finishing her sentences, and then, at 1 a.m., he'd hurled a nectarine at her and begged her to go practice in her room, which she had, until 3 a.m. Then, in the morning, she'd realized that her usual lab outfit, leggings, ratty 5K t-shirt, and very, very messy bun, would probably not communicate valuable future colleague to Dr. Benton, and spent an excessive amount of time looking for something appropriate, dress for success and all that. Finally, it occurred to her that she had no idea what Dr. Benton, arguably the most important person in her life at the moment, and yes, she was aware of how sad that sounded, but decided not to dwell on it, even looked like. She looked him up on her phone and found that he was somewhere in his late 30s, blonde with blue eyes, and had very straight, very white teeth. When she arrived at the campus Starbucks, Olive was whispering to his Harvard headshot, "Please let me come work in your lab." Then she noticed Adam. It was an uncharacteristically cloudy day, still August, but it almost felt like late fall. Olive glanced at him, and she immediately knew that he was in the nastiest of moods. That rumor of him throwing a petri dish against a wall because his experiment hadn't worked out, or because the electron microscope needed repairs, or because something equally inconsequential had happened came to mind. She considered ducking under the table. "It's okay," she told herself. "This is worth it." Things with On were back to normal. Better than normal. She and Jeremy were officially dating. And last weekend, On had showed up to beers and s'mores night wearing leggings and an oversized MIT sweater she'd clearly borrowed from him. When Olive had eaten lunch with the two of them the other day, it hadn't even felt awkward. Plus, the first, second, and even third-year grads were too scared of Adam Carlson's girlfriend to steal Olive's pipettes, which meant that she didn't have to stuff them in her backpack and take them home for the weekend anymore. And she was getting some grade-A free food out of this. She could take Adam Carlson, yes, even this pitch-black mood Adam Carlson, for 10 minutes a week at the very least. "Hey," she smiled. He responded with a look that exuded moodiness and existential angst. Olive took a fortifying breath. "How are you?"
"Fine."
His tone was clipped, his expression tenser than usual. He was wearing a red plaid shirt and jeans, looking more like a wood-chopping lumberjack than a scholar pondering the mysteries of computational biology. She couldn't help noticing the muscles and wondered again if he had his clothes custom-made. His hair was still a bit long, but shorter than the previous week. It seemed a little surreal that she and Adam Carlson were at a point where she was able to keep track of both his moods and his haircuts. "Ready to get coffee?" she chirped. He nodded distractedly, barely looking at her. On a table in the back, a fifth year was glancing at them while pretending to clean the monitor of his laptop. "Sorry if I was late, I just..."
"It's fine."
"Did you have a good week?"
"Fine."
"Okay. Did you do anything fun last weekend?"
"I worked."
They got in line to order, and it was all Olive could do to stop herself from sighing. "Weather's been nice, right? Not too hot." He grunted in response. It was starting to be a bit much. There was a limit to what Olive would do for this fake dating relationship, even for a free mango frappuccino. She sighed. "Is it because of the haircut?" That got his attention. Adam looked down at her, a vertical line deep between his eyebrows.
"What?"
"The mood. Is it because of the haircut?"
"What mood?"
Olive gestured broadly toward him. "This, the bad mood you're in?"
"I'm not in a bad mood."
She snorted, though that was probably not the right term for what she just did. It was too loud and derisive, more like a laugh, a snaff.
"What?"
he frowned, unappreciative of her snaff. "Come on."
"What?"
"You ooze moodiness."
"I do not."
He sounded indignant, which struck her as oddly endearing.
"You so do.
I saw that face and I immediately knew."
"You did not."
"I did. I do. But it's fine. You're allowed to be in a bad mood." It was their turn, so she took a step forward and smiled at the cashier. "Good morning. I'll have a pumpkin spice latte. And that cream cheese Danish over there?" "Yep, that one. Thank you. And..." She pointed at Adam with her thumb. "He'll have a chamomile tea. No sugar," she added cheerfully. She immediately took a few steps to the side, hoping to avoid damage in case Adam decided to throw a petri dish at her. She was surprised when he calmly handed his credit card to the boy behind the counter. Really, he wasn't as bad as they made him out to be.
I hate tea, he said. And chamomile.
Olive beamed up at him. That is unfortunate.
You smartass.
He stared straight ahead, but she was almost certain that he was about to crack a smile. There was a lot to be said about him, but not that he didn't have a sense of humor. So, not the haircut?
No. It was a weird length, getting in my way while I was running.
Oh, so he was a runner, like Olive. Okay, great, because it doesn't look bad. It looks good, as in really good. You were probably one of the most handsome men I'd ever talked to last week, but now you look even better. Not that I care about these things. I don't care at all. I rarely notice guys, and I'm not sure why I'm noticing you, or your hair, or your clothes, or how tall and broad you are. I really don't get it. I never care. Usually. Ugh.
He
seemed flustered for a second, his lips moving without making a sound, as he looked for an appropriate response. Then, out of the blue, he said,
I talked with the department chair this morning. He's still refusing to release my research funds.
Oh, she cocked her head. I thought they weren't due to decide until the end of September.
They aren't. This was an informal meeting, but the topic came up. He said that he's still monitoring the situation.
I see. She waited for him to continue. When it became clear that he wouldn't, she asked, monitoring? How?
Unclear.
He was clenching his jaw. I'm sorry. She felt for him. She really did. If there was something she could empathize with, it was scientific studies coming to an abrupt halt because of a lack of resources. Does that mean that you can't continue your research?
I have other grants.
So, the problem is that you cannot start new studies?
I can. I had to rearrange different pods, but I should be able to afford to start new lines of research, too.
I see. She cleared her throat. So, let me recap. It sounds like Stanford froze your funds based on rumors, which I agree is a crappy move. But it also sounds like, for now, you can afford to do what you were planning, so it's not the end of the world? Adam gave her an affronted glare, suddenly looking even more cross. Oh boy. Don't get me wrong, I understand the principle of the matter, and I'd be mad too. But you have how many other grants? Actually, don't answer that. I'm not sure I want to know. He probably had 15. He also had tenure, and dozens of publications, and there were all those honors listed on his website, not to mention that she'd read on his CV that he had one patent. Olive, on the other hand, had cheap knockoff reagents and old pipettes that regularly got stolen. She tried not to dwell on how much further ahead than her he was in his career, but it was unforgettable how good he was at what he did, how annoyingly good. My point is, this is not an insurmountable problem, and we're actively working on it. We're in this together, showing people that you're going to stay here forever because of your amazing girlfriend. Olive pointed to herself with a flourish, and his glare followed her hand. Clearly, he was not a fan of rationalizing and working through his emotions. Or you could stay mad, and we could go to your lab and throw test tubes full of toxic reagents at each other until the pain of third-degree burns overrides your shitty mood. Sounds like fun, no? He looked away and rolled his eyes, but she could see it in the curve of his cheeks that he was amused, likely against his will.
You are such a smartass.
Maybe, but I'm not the one who grunted when I asked how your week was.
I did not grunt, and you ordered me chamomile.